Okay. This week is Parshas Kisava. Kisava is the second to last Parsha of the year. The second to last Shabbos. Every year, Parshas Kisava is always the second to last Shabbos of the year. Many years, we start Slichos, Mitzoy Shabbos, Parshas Kisava. This year, we start Slichos next week. But it's something not to be taken lightly. And we always like to say in the Shir, there's a Chazal, Acharoin, Acharoin, Chaviv. And we always say over, what does it mean, Acharoin, Acharoin, Chaviv? So the Olam says it means the very, very last. When you get down to the very, very end, it's the most precious. But I once heard from HaChover, Rav Chaim Victor, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he told me that Acharoin, Acharoin, Chaviv means the second to last. If Chazal meant the last is the most precious, then they should have said, Acharoin Chaviv. The Chazal did not talk like us. They didn't have exaggerations, hyperbole. They were very straight. Very straight. And if they said, if they meant the last, they would say the Acharoin is Chaviv. The fact that it says Acharoin, Acharoin Chaviv, that means the second to last is precious. And it's very, very true. Because when you get to the very, very end, unfortunately, things get a little wild. Things get wild, things get out of hand, you're very nervous, you're coming to the very, very end. When it first hits you that you're coming, that you want to appreciate the end, you need a little buffer, a buffer zone. Maybe the last is the most choshuv, but the most choviv is the second to last. And indeed, this week is Shabbos, it's the second to last Shabbos of the year. Thus, this Shabbos is choviv, it's a precious Shabbos. It's the culmination of all of everything that we strive for. We begin the year, Mereshis, Shana, Mereshis, Hashana, and Achris Shana, our goals, aspirations, this is where it all comes down to. And the Chazal also make it very, very clear that this is the end of the year because we read the Teichecha. This goes back to the time of Ezra. Ezra was Mesakin that we should read the Teichecha before the year comes to an end. The famous words of Chazal are, is that the year should end, Tochel Shana V'Kiloseha. All of the klolos of the year should come to an end. So we see even from Chazal are using this expression that the year should come to an end with the Teichecha. We read the Teichecha 2 weeks before, the klolos should all come to an end so that when the new year begins, it should begin with Beracha. Even Chazal, we see that they view this parasha to be the very end, the wind down, the end of the year. Another thing I came across is Chazal said that if only Klal Yisrael would observe two Shabbos, so it's Miyad Nigolin. They only need to observe two Shabbos to be zechut to Geula. What are the two Shabbos that we need to observe to be zechut to Geula? So there are many interpretations, but one of the interpretations is it's the last two Shabbos of the year. So this is the big test. The Geula comes with Rosh Hashanah. When we blow Shofar, Rav Sadia Gaon says the blowing of the Shofar Rosh Hashanah, one of the reasons why we blow Shofar is Tekab B'Shofar Gadol L'Cheruseinu. It's the shofar shel geula. We yearn that when the Baal Toikea blows the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that blowing of the shofar should be the shofar shel Moshiach. And that's what we're yearning for. It should be transformed into the shofar shel Moshiach. But in order that there should be geula, we need to observe two Shabbosos. Chazal said we need to observe two Shabbosos so that we should be zochah to geula. So what are the two Shabbosos that we observe that brings the geula? The last two Shabbosos of the year. So here we're winding down to a very special time. It's the last two Shabbosos. It's a Teicha, which is that we mevakesh, all the klolos should come to an end. It is the Acharoin, Acharoin Chav, it's precious. This is the meaning, this is the significance of this week's Parsha. Now, we come to the first sugya of the Parsha is Bikurim, the mitzvah of Bikurim. This Bikurim is very appropriate for the last Shabbos of the year, or the last two Shabbos, the wind down of the year, because at the end of the sugya of Bikurim, we have a bracha. This really is in the vidui, and the vidui after we express the vidui, we say the vidui Hashem. The very it's a pasuk tezayin. It's in Perik Chava Pasik Tezayin Hashkifa Mimoin Kachucha Kemin Hashamayim Veshamartav Yosis is Pasik Yudzayin. Let me just find Pasik Tezayin. Pasik Tezayin. I'm going to go to the next Pasik Tezayin. Hayoim Hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavcha lasois es hachukim ha'ele v'yes ha'mishpatim v'shamarta v'yasisa oisam v'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. What does Rashi say? V'shamarta v'yasisa oisam, Rashi, bas kol mivorachtoi. A bas kol comes out of heaven and blesses you. Heveisa bikurim hayoim. You brought bikurim today. Tishne lishana haba. I give you a blessing that you should merit to do it again next year. There's another gerus in Rashi, tizke. Now tishne tizke, you should merit lishana haba. What better bracha do you have here in Parsha than this Rashi? And how appropriate is there to be such a mitzvah, such a Rashi, when you at the very end of the year? This is the end of the year, the wind end of the year. What do you want? What do you want when you come to the end of the year? Halavai, halavai, next year we should be. It's all. It should be the same, or better. It should be the same or better. Halavai, next year we should be zoicha to another year of bracha. And the Torah, it's not an accident that we read every year the parasha of Bikurim, which concludes with a basko. We did the mitzvah of Bikurim. I'm giving you a bracha. I'm giving you a renewal of your lease on life. You're going to be zeichet to another year. Tizke l'shana haba. I want to elaborate upon this a little bit, this idea, why this is unique, this idea of tizke l'shana haba. I don't think we find this idea anywhere by any one of the Taryag mitzvahs. I challenge you to show me when a person does the mitzvah. Chazal say, a baskel comes out of Shemaim and says, oh, excellent, you did the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah, so you know what? I'm going to give you a merit that next year you should do it again. I mean, we pray Lashon HaBab Yerushalayim after Yom Kippur, after Pesach, but we have a baskol only by Bikurim. Is there any other mitzvah? When you put on tzitzis, you hear a baskol? Oh, next year you should do tzitzis again. When you light Hanukkah candles, you have a baskol? Next year you should light Hanukkah candles again. No such thing. The only time you have this idea is when it comes to Bikurim. Why that when it comes to Bikurim? So I saw something very interesting. What is the inyan of bringing a basket of fruit to the Koyin Beis HaMikdash? We have to go to Masechta Bava Basra. Everyone here learned Bava Basra in their yeshiva days, learn Daf Yomi, you learn Bava Basra. One of the major sugs of Bava Basra is where there's a disagreement between two people as to who owns the property. Person is a squatter, so to speak. At least that's what the landowner says. What are you doing on my land? I'm the Balabais. Just because I'm in Florida, just because I'm in Texas the whole year, it's my land. It's my land. So you come back home, and there's a guy sitting on your property. So what does the person say? Yo, what are you talking about, your land? It's my property. I bought it from you. Really? Show me the deed. Show me the shtar. Show me proof. Bring witnesses. Oh, I lost the deed. Witnesses are they're out of town. So sorry, buddy. If you don't have a proof that it's your property, I'm sorry, you're out. If you're living here for 3 years, if you can prove to me a chazaka, you claim it's your property, and you're living here for 3 years, and you can prove that during these 3 years, the ma'arer, the one that's complaining, cannot prove that he complained. He issued a warning during these 3 years. So then in a chanami, chazaka, you win. You win with a chazaka. Let's say, for argument's sake, the person is only living here for 2 years. Only here for 2 years. And he lost the deed, doesn't have witnesses, and shows up a guy who we know for a fact was the previous owner, and he says, what are you doing here? You squatter, get lost, that's my property. I bought it from you. You bought it, where's the shtar? Where's the chazaka? Where's the witnesses? I don't have it. He has to leave. What happens, this is the Gemara Bava Basra Nafalamit Hey, if the person brings proof that last year, or let's say last Purim, he brought in Mishloach Manos, and he brought in a beautiful basket of fruits from this field. This is living on a field that's producing fruit, for argument's sake, an orchard. And that's what they're fighting about. And he took some of the fruit from the field itself, he put it in a nice basket, and he took the basket, and he went to this person who's now coming to tell him to leave. I want to bring you Mishloach Manos. Here's some a basket of fruit. The fruit came from this field. And the Ma'arer accepts it. wow, thank you very much for your beautiful mishloach manos, this beautiful gift of fruit, this basket of fruit. Very, very nice.
He didn't know it was from his own fruit.
He did know. And we know for a fact these are exotic fruits, only come from this, only from this clear as day, that he knows that the fruit came from this land. There's no witnesses, there's no shtar, there's no chazaka, but we have a videotape. A videotape of him bringing them shloch manos, or witnesses, whatever it is, circumstantial, whatever it is, enough Ryan Bezdin, the stand Bezdin, whatever it is, that this person took food from the field itself and gave it as a matan to the one that's done to come to Ma'ara, and he accepted it. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey and Baba Basra says this is the ultimate proof that the property indeed belongs to the person currently occupying the land. Because if he really did not sell the land to this person, there is no way in the world a human being, when he receives a gift basket of the fruit that has been produced by the land itself, will just accept it and be quiet. The fact that we know that the person who's living in the property took a basket of fruit and gave it to the one that's coming out to complain, what we call the ma'arer, and the ma'arer accepts it, knowing where it came from, that says it all. That says it all. It's taka yours. It's your land. I will not be silent. So I saw in the Sefer, I do not remember where I saw this. Maybe it'll hit me in a moment where I saw this idea is, maybe I saw it in a Shur Sefer, could be I saw it in Rav Avraham Shur Sefer, Halekach Lahalivuf, could be it's there. This is what Bikurim is all about. Bikurim, not going into all the details, is really a tikkun for the Meraglim. The same fruits that we find in the Meraglim, they took a grape, they took a date, and they took an olive. The same fruits that are mentioned in the parsha of the Meraglim are mentioned over here in Chazal in reference to Bikurim. But it basically, Bikurim, there's a relationship between what was the Meraglim? It was a rejection. We don't want Eretz Yisrael. We don't want it. Hashem says, oh, you don't want it? Okay, you won't have it. You don't like it? So, you know, sit in the Midbar for 40 years. I'm coming to give you Eretz Yisrael. I took you out of Mitzrayim. You're going to go tomorrow into Eretz Yisrael. You send Meraglim. You come back and you complain that it's not a good land. Oh, you don't want it? Okay, I'm not giving it to you. You're not going to have it. You can sit here and eat in the desert and die in the desert. You're not getting it. Klal Yisrael spent the next 40 years doing teshuva, and we come into Eretz Yisrael. We have to conquer the land, fight the land. Who says Hashem comes to Klal Yisrael? Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here in this land? It's not your land." I'm the boss. I created the world. I give the land to whom I want. I gave the land to the Kenanim. I didn't give it to you. I wanted to give it to you. You rejected it, so I took it back from you. I didn't give it to you. You now come into Eretz, so you conquer the land. You divide up the land. You're squatters. You're occupying the land illegally. That's what you're doing. There is contention between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There is this struggle. Hashem says, it's my land. I'll give the land to whom I want to give it to. What are you doing here? So we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you gave it to us. You promised it to the others. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, this was the whole plan. This was the plan of Yetzias Mitzrayim. What do you mean? What are we doing here? It's our land. Hashem says, really? It's your land? You have a shtar? You have witnesses? You know, I can prove it's not your land. You rejected it. You said Meraglim. You said the land is Efes Ki Asa'am. You don't prove it. I need proof in order for me to allow you to maintain, live in this land. I need you to bring me proof that you indeed purchased, you indeed acquired this land from me. Bikurim represents the ultimate statement that yes, Hashem gives his haskama. I acknowledge, even though there are problems, you don't have a shtar, you don't have witnesses, there are problems because we were chayte, we sinned, we rejected the land. The fact that we can take a basket of fruit from the land and present it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we can wave it, and we can put it down before the Ribbono Shel Olam and give it to his representatives, the Kohanim, and we can say Hashkifa and the Mon Kachal, we can say all these psukim over here, and Hashem accepts it. This is the ultimate statement that, yeah, Hashem Tach gave us Eretz Yisrael. But how do we know Hashem accepted it? This is why It is the only mitzvah we need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a statement. Hashem has to say, you brought bas kol mivarachtoi hevesa bikurim hayom. When we have an ear, what's the ear is all about? We have people fighting over property. What's the ear all about? What's going to be the future? I'm a squatter. You're the landowner. So right now, let bygones be bygones. You know, I'm living here for the last 2.5 years. Okay, so you got away with it. Okay, I'll try to repossess you, go get rent backwards. That's another story. The issue is, what's going to be tomorrow? Are you going to be evicted, or are you going to be allowed to remain in the land? The issue, whenever there is an error, I'm here, right? I'm here. The Ma'aris says, get lost, get out. You're here legally. The issue over here is what's going to be in the future. The Baskel says the future is Baskel Mivarachtoi Lishona Haba Gesunte Heit. Stay right where you are. Remain here. The future is yours. Indeed, it's your property. It is only by Bikurim we actually need there to be a Baskel to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masking that He gave us Eretz Yisrael. See, it's end of the year, Kisava wanted from Bereshis. Bereshis is, it fits very well into the first mitzvah in the Torah. The Bereshis is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to give the whole Chumash Bereshis, the first Rashi in Chumash, is because Hashem created the world. Hashem gives the land to whom He wants, and Hashem takes it away. If the Kananim, the Umar Yisraelim, will say to Klal Yisrael that we're listim atem, we're ganavim, so we'll say, it's Hashem's world, He decides who's the tenant. How taka do we know is how taka? The baskol. The baskol of this week's parasha is the answer to the Umar Sa'ilam. They also hear the baskol. You brought Pikurim this year, I give you a bracha, you can bring me next year as well. It's taka, your land, Hashem accepts it. So this is the significance of the baskol, and it's also the significance of coming, it's also significant that we take this mitzvah and we use it as a hakdama to the next year. We mevakesh that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's really a mashal. We're at the crossroads. It's the Yimei Hadin. Hashem says, what are you doing in this world? Who put you on this world? Do you have a right to remain on this world? I gave you a gift. I give life. You took life. You have a right. We have to present HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take from the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us and present Him with something. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed is making a statement, yes, I accept. It's the ultimate statement, that's right, I want to give you more. You have a right to exist in this world. You have a right to live and be well and be gesund and have all the bracha in this world. Tizkeh l'shana haba should be a bracha for another wonderful year of bracha and shefa and nachas, gesund, and all the good things that come along with it. Okay, let's go to another idea. What? No, we do not. In order to be kum, you have to have the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have the Mizbeach, v'inachtu lefnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, and you have to have, I think some mostly, you have to have the majority of Klal Yisrael living there. I don't remember the details, but you definitely need a Mizbeach. You do need the Beis, you need the Mizbeach. V'inachtu lefnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Okay, then, by the way, just derech agav, is that the Al HaMichya, the Nusach of Al HaMichya, is all connected to Bikurim. Every time you recite Al HaMichya, you're really connecting to the mitzvah of Bikurim. That's why the only tefillah in all of our liturgy that mentions the Mizbeach is in the Al HaMichya. V'al Mizbechecha, v'al Heicholecha. How come we do not mention Mizbechecha in Birchas HaMazon? How come we do not mention the Mizbech in the Nusach HaTfilah? Never, never. The word Mizbech is never mentioned in any Nusach. It's only mentioned in the Brach of Al HaMichya, because Al HaMichya is the Peroi Saaretz, the Zayin Minim, and the Zayin Minim is what you bring to the Beis HaMikdash as Bikurim. My father, Zichron Levecha, used to say, that's why in Al HaMichya you don't say a reference to Chanukah and Purim. You make mention of the Shalosh Rugalim, but you never make mention of Chanukah and Purim. Why not? Because between Chanukah and Pesach, Chanukah and Shavuos, maybe the Einoi Koirei. You bring Bikurim, but you don't say the Psukim. When you bring Bikurim, you have to say Psukim. Hashkifim, you have to say, recite Arami, Ovid Avi. if you bring Bikurim, Bikurim starts on Shavuos, V'yoyim HaBikurim, and the mitzvah Bikurim goes until Sukkot. Then you do all the details. But if you delay and you don't bring your first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash until after Sukkot, you do the whole procedure, you give it to the Kohen, you wave it, but you do not recite the Pesukim. You're too late. Thus, after Chanukah, there's no Dibur. That's why Chanukah and Purim, you don't make mention of Chanukah and Purim and Bikurim, because Bikurim corresponds to, because Alamichri corresponds to Bikurim, and Bikurim you don't mention these things. You don't mention, there's no divorce, so that's why it's a remes.
How come Bikurim doesn't exist anymore, but Shemitah still does?
Shemitah exists midrabanan, because Shemitah is a matter of just not doing anything. Bikurim is something positive. You have to do something. You have to bring it to the Mizbeach. You have to give
but
it to...
Even now, the first fruit is not special?
No, there's no Kedusha on Bikurim. Bikurim does not have any Kedusha, no.
Was it ever brought by the Bamos?
By the bumbles, no. Only is brought v'yoki v'yachai. Only ki sovo el aretz asher Hashem lech nosin lucha nachla v'yishtov yashav teba. And that's at a time iser bumbles. Time when you have Beis HaMikdash. No, this is all v'lach makom asher yivchak Hashem lech l'shach yom shemosham. That's no bumbles.
Yivchak.
That's the makom hamikdash. No bumbles. It has to be done only in bizman hazeh. You have to go into the Rambam all the technical details of why we don't do bizman hazeh. But this is just. Arla, the first 3 years sure. It's forbidden. Yes, Arla applies Bizman Hazeh, definitely does.
Even Chutzarts,
no, I don't believe so. Yes. I don't believe so. I don't think so. Arla is not only in Eretz Yisrael, if I'm not mistaken.
Nowadays,
Bizman Hazeh. And when the Beis HaMikdash, the Chutzarts, even the Beis HaMikdash, yeah? Only maybe in Bavel, only in the areas that surround Eretz Yisrael.
Ayaz
HaSmuchos. And these are, what?
Chadash
machlokes. Chadash, we've been makel. It has been tradition to be makel. There's machlokes in the Gemara. Most Rishonim hold that Chadash applies in Chutz Li'aretz Bizman Hazem Midrabanan. The vast majority. Minority opinion is it does not apply in Chutz Li'aretz Bizman Hazem, even Midrabanan. It has been the custom for the last 2,000 years to be lenient and to follow the minority opinion. Why has that been so? Chodesh chutz li'aretz is a machloikis midrabanan. Eretz only midrabanan. Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael is only midrabanan. It's only midrabanan. Eretz Yisrael, everything is chodesh. Everything is chodesh in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's called yashin. In Eretz Yisrael, they're careful. In Eretz Yisrael, any produce that is grown, any grain that is grown in Eretz Yisrael, it's grain. It's all yashin. B'li yotzei min haklal. It's all part of the heksher business. In Chutz Li'aretz, it has been tradition for 2,000 years to be makel and to follow the Rishon that there is no prohibition. You're allowed to have grain that has grown since Pesach, and you're allowed to eat it. You don't have to wait.
So why are they making
why? Because the vast majority of Rishonim hold that Chodosh in Chutz Li'aretz is Osir Midrabanan. And even though for 2,000 years we have been makel, we've been lenient, but the reasons for the leniencies do no longer apply in the modern world. So therefore, it would be appropriate, according to the thinking of some of Gedolei Yisrael, is that today we should be machmir, since it's so easy to be machmir. Years ago, and the reason why they were makel is for one very simple reason. They would starve to death. Pshuta kimashmo. They would literally starve. They didn't not matter chadash. They would starve to death. So therefore, there are Rishonim that say there's no such thing as Chodosh and Chutz Li'aretz, so you can be lenient. So good, you can be lenient. And that became the Halacha. And now, in America, 95%, I'm not mistaken, not Makbid and Chodosh. Okay, it's nice, they put on the stores, everything is Yashon, Yashon, Yashon. People don't even know what that means. They think it's stale. I went to a bris. A guy came to one. I remember what he was telling me. A guy came late to yeshiva. So he wanted to bribe the rebbe. Came late to yeshiva, so he went to a bris. So he comes to the rebbe, and the rebbe would be very angry. Why are you late? You went to a bris. Don't go to the bris. You don't have right to. You have yeshiva. It's your brother. It's your own baby. What are you coming late to yeshiva? So he brought the Rebbe a bagel and cream cheese, bagel and cheese to lighten the load. And he, in order to eat icing on the cake, he says to the Rebbe, it's Yasha. I went to the verb, it's Yasha. So the Rebbe was like making litzanis. The Rebbe said, the Rebbe was massive Talmud Chacham, Kulter Akula, unbelievable. He said to the making litzanis, oh, you coming to bribe me and you're telling me that it's also Yasha? What does it mean, Yasha? It's stale? You're coming late and you're coming to bribe me with a stale bagel? Yashon, what? What? Oh, okay. But Zman Azeh, today it's a very nice thing today, because today it's very, very easy. Very easy today in the food industry to observe the laws of Yashan. And the vast majority of Rishonim hold that Yashan is Aser in Chutz Liaretz. So if we can easily observe it, why not?
So
why
what
not?
Will happen if 1 year or 2 years there will be a shortage of food?
So then that they'll have to make a decision. So then that year a decision will have to be made among the Paiskim, among the Gedolim, what to do in this year. Can we go back and we go back to the Lekulis? Enochanami. It's Enochanami. Let's move now. Okay, this now let's go further. We're out of time. Let's go to a new topic. Okay. Now I wanted to here I came across an idea. I had this idea to me made a very big Rosh Hashanami Bikurim, an idea from Rav Shimon Schwab. Relating to Rosh Hashanah. Okay, let's go back. Let's go to the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah. We lay in the Akedah, second day. First day we lay in about Yishmael, Sarah, and Yishmael, Kol Asher Toma Asar Shema B'Koyla Ki B'Yitzchi Kol Chazorah. Then we lay in the Akedah, and then the very end, the last Aliyah of Rosh Hashanah, we read about the Eile Toldos Yishmol ben. I'm Parash Vayera. What am I doing over here? I'm in the Parasha. Vayehi Acharei Hadvarim Eile Vayugali Avram Lemar Hine Yolda Milka Gamhi Bonim Linochor Ochicha Es Utz Bichole Vies Buzochi Vies Kmil Vayaram Vies Kesed Vies Chazev Vies Puldosh Vies Hidlov Vies Bisuel Uvisuel Yolas Rivka. What in the world are we learning this in Rosh Hashanah? We need to list 12 people that we really are totally, from our perspective, totally irrelevant to the Yom Hadin. Every all the other aliyahs, the first day and the second day, until you get to this last aliyah. Of course, you know, every word is Kodesh Kodashim, it's precious, it relates to Yom Diyoma. There are more than enough psukim to break up the kriya for the second day of the Akedah into five aliyos, and we don't need to lane these last few psukim. This is a famous kasha, the whole world is this kasha. This kasha has been asked and answered a million times over. By far the most common answer to this question is, it's coming to teach you that it's the Yom HaDin for Shiduchim. Okay, everyone loves that answer. Because here Yitzchak and Rivka, they represent the ultimate shidduch. Yitzchak and Rivka, the whole parsha of Chayisara, and we daven, we start, we rearrange the letters, and we rearrange the letters in Shachris, Bifi, Yishrim, Tislav, Diritz, and Tisrach, and every machzor has big oisyes, Yitzchak and Rivka, shidduchim. What are you thinking about? Funny, you used to joke on Yom Kippur, a bachar, when a bachar, he claps al chait. Shidduch. Shidduch, shidduch. When you clap al chay, what are you thinking about? Shidduch, shidduch. Right? It's the chotasi or visi poshati in the mind of the bachar. Shidduch, shidduch. Right? So this. So what's on people's mind? What?
There's a very nice chassam sofer.
Yeah.
I think maybe he said he answered like this, because Avraham Avinu did not know anything about that Milka gave birth. Milka was from his family. He achared Vormela.
Only now he was revealed.
And still he went ahead and he was ready to do the Akedah. His whole line would have been gone. The whole family would have been gone. So that's the godless of Avram to show. That's why we lay it down.
This is what a lot of the parshim say, is that we want to get to the pasuk Uvesuel Yolades Rivka. It's an amazing pasuk. All of this kedai to go for the whole Yichos. Yitzchak is alive. And Yitzchak has a shidduch, Rivka. And in them, Yitzchak and Rivka is the symbol of all shidduchim for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezavig zivugim. It's a very positive chizuk for Klal Yisrael on the Yom HaDin, especially in our generation when it's a very big issue, it's a very big problem. And therefore, people are totally worked up. Everyone is worked up about these things. There's no person that's living in this world that's not worked up about these things. They doesn't love either themselves, their children, their relatives. And everything that goes involved with shidduch and parnas and support and learning and you name it, I have to tell you about this. and the grandparents are also pulling out their hair about this. This is it. This is what life is all about. And the Meila, it's pikuach nefesh to read this pasuk. Ubisul yoladis rifka. That is probably the most popular question and answer benogia this aliyah. Right? I'm just telling you the basics. I want to tell you a different idea.
Marriage, what? Not for second marriage.
For marriage. Rachmana litzlan, a person who is divorced, a person who is an alman, they also need a shirach. Okay, Rachmana litzlan. Everyone needs to have a partner. Okay, that's like, okay, let's go weiter. Now, I want to tell you a different idea. A whole different world. And first, I want to tell you the ha'ara from Rav Shimon Schwab, Zechzad Levracha. And then I want to extrapolate. He says something that is amazing. What is it? It's not true what it says here in the pasuk. We go to the effort of listing all of the people, all of the players. Uvisuel yolad es Rivka. This is someone else to whom Bisuel fathered. Lavan. Who is one of the most popular people in the Torah? Who's the most famous in the Torah? Well known. Who's well known? Infamous. Mr. Lavan. Right?
Weiss.
Mr. Lavan. Mr. Weiss. Lavan is Weiss. So what happened to Lavan? Uvisuel Yolad S. Rivka V. S. Lavan. Where did he go? Where did he go on Rosh Hashanah? He didn't come to Shul Rosh Hashanah. What happened to Lavan? Aron Kodesh is white. Everything is white, just like his name. You should feel very comfortable on Rosh Hashanah, Lavan. What happened to him?
Lavan for Nelsede.
So Rav Shimon Schwab basically says, do you want to know why? Now, he develops this in his own way. I don't remember. This appears in the book, The Selected Speeches. There's a little book, Selected Speeches from Rav Shimon Schwab. It's a book. And he develops it in his own way, and he basically, the insight is, you know why you're laying this whole aliyah? You're not laying this whole aliyah because you want to mention all of these 12 people. We're mentioning it because we want to leave out someone. That's why we're mentioning it. We're mentioning 12 people for the purpose of leaving out someone. Lahachas. You don't count. And that totally changes the picture. Lavan is out of the picture for Rosh Hashanah. Now, why? Why is that so significant for Rosh Hashanah to leave out Lavan? What's this all about? Okay, so he develops in his way. I want to say a different idea. And the reason why I want to say a different idea is I want to contrast what we're about to do in the new year with what we do in the very end of this year. And that's where we start. This is the end of we're winding down at the last two Shabbos. So it's the end of the year. What do we read about with this parasha? Bikurim. What's the first thing you say in Bikurim? Who gets honorable mention? Number one, Lavan. Okay, the first thing is Arami Oved Avi Rashi. Who is the Arami? Who is the Arami? There are many interpretations of who the Arami is, but Rashi, we all know Rashi is Lavan. Lavan is the Arami. Bikesh, the Ramoi. He is the deceiver. Bikesh La'akar says Avad. He destroyed. He in fact succeeded. He succeeded in destroying my father Yaakov. No, he didn't. Rashi says, well, by Rishohim, by the Umay Sa'olam, Hashem counts the Machshava Kemaisa. What does it say now in Parash? Let me say the exact words for precision. We start Bikurim. We start with Vosel HaKoyen. The Asherayeh B'yamah T'lov, He got to Hashem Lech, Ki Vosel HaAretz, Okay? V'lakachon Nethem Yedecha, V'yonisa V'yamah. The very first thing you say is, Arami Oyvei Ravi. Rashi is Pasuk Hei. Rashi says, "V'yanisa damaskol arami oyvei ravi mazkir chasti avos arami oyvei ravi lavan bikesh lakar esakol kishoradaf achar Yaakov." When Yaakov left him and he chased after him, he was shvil shachoshav lasois yiharach machshav lasas choshav loy hamakom kiilu asa umayis ha'olam choyishav lam kolashbaruch machshav kemaisa. Unbelievable, Rashi. Isn't it amazing? The last thing that we do, the last mitzvah, the last thing that we do before the end of the year is we give Lavan the most significant honorable mention. The very first thing you say, Bikurim, Tiska Lashana Haba, right? Didn't we just learn? The only mitzvah we were using as a way, Tiska Lashana Haba, is Bikurim. And what do you say in Bikurim? Lavan Arami Oviravi. And you come to Rosh Hashanah, you come to the end, the highlight, the climax of Rosh Hashanah, the last Aliyah. We're enumerating 12 people just for the purpose of leaving out Lavan. Mamish mikotze la kotze. What's going on here? one extreme to another extreme? How do we understand this?
What is the connection between love and the Bikurim altogether?
That's another question you can ask. Why Rashi says, Maskir Chaste Ovis. Rashi says, we want to express Jewish history. Jewish history, it's all about, the whole Gemara is about Jewish history. Mitchila Oivdei Avoid Zerhoy Ovis. So we started out in a massive of Tsar, of a Golos. And we come to Eretz Yisrael, to the Mizbech, as the ultimate Geula. Where did our Golus begin? Where did it all start? It all started with Lavan. Yaakov, he worked for 22 years for a Parnassa, and Lavan wanted to kill him. That was the first moment of Golus. The Golus of Klal Yisrael, and Bikurim represents the ultimate Shvitz, represents the ultimate Geula, the Gemar. Isn't it a good kasha? My high, what's going on over here? What is going on? The end of the year, we highlight on a pedestal Lavan, and the beginning of the year, Gumamish out of our way lahachas to show it to him. Couldn't care less about you. You're irrelevant, irrelevant. Gval Gakash, if I may say so myself. Putting all humility aside. So good guy. I'm Shrap really. He's the one that brings. But yeah, become here. So I want to say the following chiddush, following Yisayt. Go back to Rashi in Parashas Vayera. Vayehi acharei hadvarim ho'ele. This Rashi says, what is the acharei hadvarim ho'ele? Rashi says unbelievable words. Unbelievable. B'shuvoy mehar mariyah, Avram Avinu. Rashi reveals to us that Avram Avinu was a human being. Okay, Dennis is not here today. Dennis, are you here? Okay. Avram Avinu reveals to us he's a human being. Psychology. I'm talking about, he's a psychologist. He's a human being. What do we mean? We have a tendency to deify, unfortunately, Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, it's true. You have an obligation. You know, cover that Torah, no question. But you know, Gedolei Yisrael, we have a tendency to deify Gedolei Yisrael. At the kach koyein, I was reading now. You know, mach satmer lebabsh machloik. So you're allowed to go to a kevert tzaddikim. It's very interesting. Satmer is very makbid. You don't go a koyein is not allowed to go to a kevert tzaddikim. Lubavitch, they do. Lubavitch is a different mahalach. They hold that the kivrit tzaddikim koyhanim are allowed to go. It's a very interesting idea.
They still go in the.
Okay, today maybe it's different. Today maybe it's different. Who's the? Everyone is different. Different dialogue. But we have a tendency, unfortunately, in history is that you know. But you have to understand, they're human beings, and Torah is coming to show they're human beings. Avraham Avinu, he just did the most magnificent thing possible. He's willing to offer his own child as a carbon to Hashem. He then comes back from the Akedah, and he begins to think. And he says, I could have, should have, would have. Okay, people who make mistakes in life, people who make mistakes in life, they obsess, if only I would have taking advantage of this opportunity, whether it's a parnasa, whether it's a shidduch, whether it's a medical treatment. If only I would have, I had the opportunity. What a shaita I am! What a shaita! If only I can go back in time a couple of years, I had an opportunity and I made a mistake. I made a mistake and now I'm doomed. I'm finished forever. I could have, should have, would have. This is I'm saying this. This is a condition of a human being. Every human being, b'liyotze min haklal, suffers. If you're a real person, if you're not a real person, then okay, I can't help you. But if you're a real person, every human being, right, to some degree, there's no person that's alive in this world that doesn't reflect.
Regret.
I don't regret. It's a different. It's not. Regret. I don't regret. But okay, regret. But it's more than regret. It's you think back. What would I have been? Everyone makes mistakes. Some make small mistakes, some make big mistakes. But every person, to some degree, thinks about, should have been that way. That's not a healthy thing. Because, I mean, it's healthy to use that as a springboard to go into the future and not make mistakes. But when you begin to dwell upon your mistake more than you should, that's already a sickness. And that's when you need professional help. Right, a man is made in the image of Hashem. In Echnami, Hashem created this thing by himself. He expressed it. What does that mean? Hashem is perfect, but Hashem expressed it. Echnami, it's a very good point you're making. Now, Avram Avinu was a human being, and he suffered from the same condition. And Rashi says this explicitly. What does Rashi say? He comes back from the Akeid and he says to himself, wow, look at that. I came this close to losing my son. My son would have been offered as a sacrifice, and what would have been? It would have been the end. Who am I to blame? Hashem said to me, Ki b'Yitzchak yikari l'chazara. And yet Hashem says to me, offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, a stira. How could Hashem say to me, Ki b'Yitzchak yikari l'chazara, and then tell me to offer him as a sacrifice? Hashem is perfect. The chesaron is in me, Avraham says. Because I should have married him off 10 years ago, when he was 27 years old, instead of being 37 years old. He would have by now had children, and then it would have been fulfilled. Ki b'Yitzchak yikara l'chazara, and I would have been able to offer him as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach. So this, that it just came about, that I would have denied myself from the bracha, ki b'Yitzchak yikara l'chazara, I have no one who to blame but myself. I could have, should have, would have. I could have, should have, would have married him off 10 years ago. Rashi says this explicitly. I'm not making this up. Rashi says this. Bishuva mehar hamariya, Rashi pasachof, Hoya Avraham meharher, was thinking, he was obsessing. The Oimer, he said, Ilu haya, oh, I know what I should have done. If only haya benish ilu haya benish shachut, if my son would have been slaughtered as I was about to do, kvar haya haylech b'loy banim, I would now have no children. I would have no children. Haya li, I should have lehasiya yisha. I should have married him off in the past to who's available. No, you only have that many shidduchim available to you. Meisha, maybe nois oner eshkol mamre. From one of the daughters of Oner Eshkol Mamre.
Or Yishmael.
No, not Yishmael. Yishmael was driven out. Kol Asher Tamasa Mishmael Mikola, Yishmael was out.
This ties it in why...
Rashi says, Oner Eshkol, fine. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bissaroi, so when Avraham Avinu, when he was obsessing about what he should have done, so Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, don't worry. I got you covered. You're okay. Don't worry. You didn't make any mistakes. Don't think about that. B'soroi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the purpose of this aliyah. B'soroi Shenolda Rivka Bat Zugoi V'zehu HaDevarim O'ele. The word HaDevarim is a code word, Rashi says, Hirhurei Devarim Shehoyu Al Yidei Akedah. The Hirhurei, the thoughts of the matter that triggered the Akedah, triggered obsessive thoughts about the past that got Avraham down. So Avraham had to go to a psychologist. Who is the psychologist? The Ribbono Shel Olam. He put him on the couch and he told him, listen, let bygones be bygones. Right now, go weiter. I got a shidduch for your son. And here's the shidduch for your son. And you can interpret this however you want. You didn't make any mistakes. Didn't make mistakes. Rivka was not available at that point in time because Rivka was first born right now. So in the Chanamis, I was saying, you know, Hashem is basically, Avraham is being maharher. I could have, should have, would have. Hashem says, cut it out. Don't live in the past. Or was, whether it was right, wrong, we're not going there. That's not our point. I don't even know how to deal. Hashem is right now, I got a shidduch for your son, and that's it. Rivka is born, go for it further. Okay, now, the key words over here is maharher. Lavan, in Parshas Kisavai. What is Lavan all about? Hear her. Arami oyved avi. The Arami succeeded in destroying my father. Rash, what? He succeeded? We're alive and well. Klal Yisrael has never been better. By the Umos Ha'olam, and who is the representative of the Umos Ha'olam that excels in this matter? Lavan. Hear her is Kemaisa. A machshava is alive. A machshava, a thought, is as if you actually did it. In other words, so again, in Kisavo, we're dealing with Lavan by the Uma. Lavan represents the theme of
doubt.
Not doubt. Not doubt is your hirhurim, your obsessions, are you. They have a life of its own, and it's right. If I could have, should have, would have, if I made a big mistake in me and I didn't do it, it means I'm doomed. Because the hirhur has the same status as actuality. Being that you have charata, you have regret, what you should have done, that can't go away. Because hirhur never goes away when it comes to Lavan. Lavan was oved avi in his mind. Because I wanted to kill him. So it's Hashem's zif, you killed him. Which teaches us that the hirhur remains on the status of the world of reality. I have a regret, I should have done something. You can never get away from that regret. That regret will stay with you for the rest of your life. You'll never be able to let go. I have a friend, he told me once, talking about regrets. So he said he also had big regrets. He went to a psychologist. He's a very healthy person, a very healthy mind, but he likes to go to these psychologists, talk to them, different ideas. So he told me that I find it very interesting. He says to me, the psychologist said to him, just the whole day when you have these pains, just go like this. Open your hand. Let go. Let go. You have a regret in life, you can't let go. I should have done this. Just practice the whole day. Open your hand. Let go. Let go of the guilt. Let go of that mistake, that tsar that you had. When you do something external, it affects you, it affects your penimius. Lavan cannot let go. Because a machshava, what I should have done, what I could have done, it's real. If it's real, you can't ignore it. You can't. If it's real, it's in front of you, I can't make believe it doesn't exist. Because it does exist. Now we appreciate why we go out of our way on Rosh Hashanah not to mention Lavan. We come to Rosh Hashanah. When you come to a new year, you think you're in shul. You reflect. What have I accomplished this whole year? Nothing. Wasting my time, wasting my life. I made all the mistakes you can possibly make. I'm going nowhere fast. Charata, charata, regret, regret, mistakes, problems. Everywhere I turn, I make the wrong mistake. And that can eat up a person. It eats you up. And it puts you in a state of depression, where you can really prevents you from going forward in a healthy way. On Rosh Hashanah, we go out of our way. We mention 12 people to bedafka, get rid of, to throw out, ignore one person, to ignore Lavan. When you come into the new year, let go. All of the past mistakes, all of the past problems, Lavan has absolutely no place in Rosh Hashanah. The end of the year, we remind you, who is Lavan? Who is Lavan? Lavan represents holding on to Machshava. Lavan, Arami, Arami, Oyve Ravi. He didn't. Yeah, he did. Because Lavan is, I was Maharher, I had a Machshava to destroy Yaakov. So Hashem says, Yitaka, by the Umo, by Lavan, the Machus of Lavan is, if this is what you wanted to do, it's real. It's real. You can't get away from you cannot get away from your hearer, from your thoughts. I wanted to do it. So it's there. It's like you did it. You can't get away from it. That's Lavan. Now we come to Rosh Hashanah. I have regrets. I have hirhurim. I should have done this. I should have done that. And those hirhurim, they eat me up. They consume me. Hashem says on Rosh Hashanah, let go. We're going to mention 12 people just for the purpose of not mentioning the king of Hirhur. Not to mention Lavan, because you'll have to learn how not to think about the past, to let go. Okay, you learn a lesson. No one's telling you not to learn the lessons of your mistakes in the past. But don't let it guide you. Don't let it consume you and force you how to behave in the future. Okay, that's...
What do we do now with the end of this piece?
What do you mean?
Why are we talking with the Pilacho, Shmarum?
That's part of a section. Once we have to read Rivka, we can't stop in the middle. We can't stop. There are 12 people. Actually, there are 12 people here. We're going to list all 12. We're going to sandwich a nice package, 12 people. But wait a minute, someone's missing. You look at the picture, right? Look at the picture. Who's missing in the picture? That's the purpose. There's taka someone missing because the lesson is to let go of Lavan. Who's Lavan? The last week of the parasha, we taka. We go into the end of the year with charatas. Get rid of it. Go weiter, be an unhealthy slate. Okay, let's go to the teichacha. Teichacha, a few things in teichacha very quickly. Baruch ato bivayach uvaruch ato bitzeisach. That's before we come to teichacha. Rashi says some very, very, very powerful words. Halavai, you know what the bracha in life is? It's not to have money, not to have children, not to have all. Halavai, just like when you come into this world, you're b'loi chet, clean from chet, your yitziah from the world should be b'loi chet. Isn't that amazing? You would think, baruch atah b'vayachah, when you come into your house, you should have a mansion full of children and nachas, and you go out to work, you know, you should be a Bill Gates. You should be at the top of the world. You should be the CEO of Amazon, right? Wherever you go, when you come into the home, nachas, gevaldik, you go out into the world, you're successful. That's what you think it means. That's not what Rashi says. Baruch atah, blessed are you, it's a statement. When you come into this world, a little baby, a mamash makana the baby, go into the maternity ward, all these little babies screaming, makane, noki, tohar, no chatohim, clean slate. Look at these little children here, no averis, zero. And you go into a funeral chapel, you go into a chapel, there are people, you look at the people, you know, what do they got? What's on their roster? What's on their record? How many chatoim? Halavai, the people in the chapel, should have zero chatoim like the children in the maternity ward. Baruch atah b'vayach, when you enter this world, b'vayitzach, when you leave this world. Naki. Now, the problem is, that's what it means. Baruch atah b'vayach, b'vayitzach, we have to assume that what's the parallel? Arur atah b'vayach. The Arur atah b'tzeisach. These are parallels. Rashi is silent on those words. But we have a right to assume that whatever it says, Baruch atah b'vayach b'tzeisach, is a parallel to Arur atah b'vayach b'tzeisach. So what does it mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, just like you're cursed, when you come into this world, you're full of sins, so I'm cursing you, you should do more sins when you leave the world. Doesn't make any sense. What's the parallel? We have a right to assume that there's a parallel between the Baruch and the Klalas. So what's the parallel?
Maybe it doesn't mean sins. It means that it says that a person would have been better if they weren't born than if they were. So maybe that's the error.
Okay, but on a very simple level, what's the? You are cursed when you come into this world. You're cursed when you leave this world. You're not cursed when you come into this world. When you come into this world, you're not cursed. You're blessed by default, according to Rashi's interpretation.
They would have been more blessed if they wouldn't have come in, according to the Chazal.
No, but according to Rashi, Baruch atah b'vayach means just like you're blessed when you come into, you have no sins. So too, you should remain in that massive without sins when you leave this world. So Baruch or atah b'vayach, what? You're not cursed. Rashi, there is no parallel. Because when you come into this world, you're blessed. You're not cursed. There are no sins. And Hashem is saying, oh, I'm cursing you, you should do more averis. That's ridiculous. Hashem never curses a person to averis. Hashem curses the person. There's a curse that you don't have parnasa, you don't have this, you don't have what you need. But to say that Hashem is making you do averis, that's absurd to say such a thing. Everyone has bechira chavshes. So what then does it mean? So we have to suggest what it means is, it means pasuk in chumash. It means ki yetzer leif ha'adam ra min uraf. It's maybe touching upon what you're saying. When a person is born, Rashi the Chumash Bereishis and says a person is born with an evil inclination. Ki yetzer leif ha'adam ra min uraf. You have a tendency. You have a natural disposition to do averos. The curse is a person should go his whole life. He's 120 years old, and it's the same yetzer ki yetzer leif ha'adam ra min uraf. Person is born with a natural disposition. It doesn't mean averos because it can't mean averos. But even though there are no averos, the pasuk here is coming to acknowledge that when you're born into this world, you have a disposition to do averos. Ki yetzer leif ha'adam ra min uraf. Pasuk is not cursing you that you should do averos. Halavai, you should go your whole life without doing one avera. But the pasuk is teaching you that's not enough. It's not enough to leave this world without doing any averos. It's a curse if you leave this world without improving your yetzer, your inclination. A person has to train himself throughout life to remove the Yetzer Hara. David says, Kilibi cholal bekirbi. I kill the Yetzer Hara. We're not talking about doing averos. Hailuchud v'hailuchud. There are averos. And even if you don't do averos, are you still struggling with the Yetzer Hara? If you're struggling with the Yetzer Hara, even though you succeed and don't do averos, it's still a problem. It means you've not achieved your tafkid. Your tafkid is to work on yourself to the point where it's not a Yetzer Hara. It's not fun every single time you go on the computer. It's a Yetzer Hara to go. To hold yourself back from looking at things you're not supposed to look at. That's not fun. That's not the way. It's not an issue. It's just not an issue. That's the curse. The curse is that you're not going to have the opportunity. You're not going to have, Hashem is not going to give you opportunity. He's not going to give you the ability, give you situations where you can work on yourself to improve your nature where you don't have to struggle with the Yetzer Hara. That itself is a curse, even if you actually did not do any averos. And the Musa Haskell is that the lesson is to work on ourselves, that we should not just not do the averos, but we should be types of people where these averos are not even issues. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. We have in this week's parasha a very long collection of mitzvahs of simcha. There's probably no mitzvah in the whole, no parasha in the whole Torah that mentions simcha so many times. When it comes to Bikurim, it says, V'somachta b'chol hatoiv. And Rashi there says, what does it mean v'somachta b'chol hatoiv? It means zman simcha. Rashi introduced a new principle that there are times of simcha. Zmanei simcha. And then it says, V'osis, we have laid in the parasha, right? We have the parasha who says, that I have done osis k'chol asher tzivisoni. Rashi says, somachti v'simachti. Hashem says, the mitzvahs you have an obligation that you should have simcha, and you should cause other people to have simcha. Later in the parasha, in the Torah, it says why we have all the problems. Tachas, asher lo yavadita, es Hashem elokecha, bisimcha uvituv levav meiroiv kol. All of our problems come from the fact that when we have opportunities, when we have it good, when Hashem gives us bracha, we do not take advantage and serve Hashem b'simcha uvituv levav in a situation meiroiv kol, the abundance of everything. You don't serve Hashem with simcha uvituv levav. That is the cause of all the entire teichacha. What else do we have in teichacha? Kasher indirectly, kasher sos. Hashem olech parto, the same way Hashem has joy over you, He will cause the nations of the world to rejoice over your downfall. But we learn indirectly in the Torah a new concept. We never had this before in the Torah. Explicitly, Kasher sos Hashem aleichem, what a nechama. In the Torah is mole bracha. Torah, especially Parashas Kisavo, it says Hashem's name 26 times in the Torah. In Parashas Pichukosai, it doesn't say Hashem's name even once. In Kisava, it says Hashem's name 26 times. And every so often, there are psukim, and from the psukim, you indirectly learn about an incredible brachos, incredible yedios that we otherwise would not know. And one of those ideas is that this expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices, kasher sos Hashem elokecha, jaas Hashem rejoices, sos. In the Haftarah, what does it say? It says, "V'samtich l'goyin oylam misois dar v'dar." Another expression in the Haftarah, "Sus for generation, you will be the source of joy for generation to generation." So it comes out. I think I totally mentioned five different references to simcha in this week's parasha. V'samach b'chol atayif, asisi k'chol asher tzivisani Rashi. Somachti v'simachti, tachas asher lo yavadta Hashem elokecha b'simcha uvituv levav, kasher sos Hashem aleichem l'toiv, and the Haftorah unesaticha l'goyin oylam misois dar v'dar. Enormous amount of expressions of simcha in this week's parasha. Now I just want to bring out to a few things. Now just to make. First of all, one short idea is a very common question. What is the difference between sasoin and simcha? La Yehudim Aisa Oira, sasoin v'simcha v'ikar. What is the difference? So there are many interpretations, but I just want to make an observation that from Nitzuk's parasha, you see very clearly the difference. Simcha is always used in reference to us, Keneged Hashem. We have joy. V'somachta, you. Somachti v'simachti. Sasain is used in the parasha from Hashem's perspective. Hashem will Hashem is sus. And by the way, when you're tefillin, you fulfill this every single day with tefillin. What is tefillin? Two sins on your tefillin. Sus. And what is tefillin? The tefillin is Hashem. Ki shem Hashem nigrin lecha v'yorim kasher sus Hashem aleichem. Tefillin captures the idea of simcha. Sus in this week's parasha, in Haftarah, in the Haftarah, what? Mesois Kola, I mean, the Mesois Kola says that, Mesois Kola says it's a little dar v'dar. It says, dar v'dar. Hashem is going to make you into the source of joy for dar v'dar. It's from Hashem's perspective. There is a mutual relationship between us and Hashem. We want to give Hashem joy, and Hashem, we have joy in Hashem. We delight in Hashem, and Hashem delights in us. It's only one way, it's a problem. If we have joy in Hashem, but Hashem has no nachas from us, we're in trouble. If Hashem has nachas from us, and we're tzibrochen, we're depressed, why would Hashem have nachas? I don't know, but if Hashem has nachas in us, and we're not happy in Hashem, it's also a problem. The full complement of simcha is when we have joy in Hashem, and Hashem has joy in us. This is the combination of Layhudim Haisa Oira, Simcha V'Sasayin. We rejoice in Hashem, and Hashem rejoices in us. That's how you see the words being used in this week's parasha. Simcha is always for us, what we are supposed to do, and Sasayin is what Hashem sees in us. Okay, one more idea about Simcha. What is, I saw this, I don't remember where I saw this, but I know that it comes from Shamshon and Falhor, it's a very powerful insight. Very big question, we'll end with this, why indeed is it that Tachas Asher Lo Yavalta Es Hashem Elokecha Bissimcha Uvituv Leivav Merovkol? It's a very scary pasuk. Pasuk is making it very clear to us why we have problems. It's shocking. The whole Teichecha is explicit in the pasuk. You want to know why. Everyone knows the why. Why did Hashem do this? Why? Why? Because you did not rejoice in Hashem. You did not serve Hashem b'simcha. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. It's the hardest mitzvah. The Gemara says it's the hardest mitzvah. Simcha. Why? I have to be happy. I like some people love to be depressed. It makes them happy. It's not a joke. It really gives their people, they want to be miserable. If things are okay, you know, there are certain people that have a job. If they're not miserable, they get a better job, they don't like it. Everything is good. It's part of, that's the way people are. That's how some people are programmed. It's a mitzvah. You have to be miserable. I know all about it. There's a certain hana. So what's so terrible? If this makes you happy to be miserable, so who's bothering you? Gesund to hate. It's a free world. It's a free country. Do whatever you want. So Shamshon Falhor says an incredible chiddush. Incredible yisait. We know that in the Hebrew language, the letter sin is interchanged more often than not with the letter samach. So what happens when you interchange simcha, samach, with a samach? It's samach means to lean. Now it's not perfect because it's a chaf versus a ches. A ches. So it's another, I didn't pay attention to that. That's a point you have to look into. I didn't realize that. Simcha, a chaf and a ches. I would never have said this before, but right over in the middle, I'm too late. I can't. Not really, is it? Is it really interchangeable? I didn't realize that. The same. Right. That. But it seems that Shamshon Falhor, she says, okay, it's not more. I'm not saying this. He's saying this. He does it a lot. So he does this. So it's a very fascinating idea. And he's saying is, you know what simcha is? Simcha is of someone to rely on. I rely upon you. I lean my weight on you. How do you serve Hashem? So there's some people, I have my own life. I do the best that I can. I'm a very religious person. I do mitzvahs. No, whatever the mitzvahs count for, they count for. They work, they don't work. I don't see the connection between my mitzvahs and my success. I do my thing, I do my mitzvahs. I don't connect the two. I don't lean my weight on Hashem. That's what the pasuk means. When a person has someone to lean on, life is not going the way you want it to go. I like to be miserable. But my whole life is all geared on, I'm connected to you, Hashem. My existence, my avodah, I lean my weight on. I know that if I don't do these mitzvos, it's not a life. If I don't daven 3 times a day, I don't learn a daf gemara today, life is meaningless to me. Tachas asher lo avadeto es Hashem elokecha b'simcha. Sham shirfal hersh learns b'simcha means you did not serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you did not serve him in a way where it meant the world to you. Your whole life depended upon it. You lean your weight on the Ribbono shel Olam. When a person has who to lean on, they're happy because it's not my problem anymore. I'm on your coattails. I'm hanging on to your coattails. Wherever you go, I'll be okay. When you're independent, then you're scared. Can I really survive? But when you have someone to lean on, that really gives you a certain degree of dimension of joy. That's not what we call joy and happiness, but it means you're stable. There's a certain stability. There's a certain stability in life. That's the deeper meaning of Tachas Asher Lo Yavadita as Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha. You did not observe the mitzvos in the state of resting your full weight upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Musa Haskel. We should be Zoyche V'Hayisa L'Roish, as it says in the Bracha, L'Roish V'Loy L'Zonov L'Roish Ma'asois Ritzoyin Avicha Sheba Shamayim. Good Shabbos.